Just look at all the saints that were persecuted and killed in the book of Revelation. That's what's going to happen. If that kind of persecution, I can't tell you how many times people tried to fight with me just for telling them about Jesus. And if it's like that now, what is it going to be like when it's complete utter darkness on the face of the earth? It's going to be way worse than that. It's going to be absolute hatred. And look, anybody who believes in Christ and rejects it is going to be labeled as a hate group. A hate group, because we don't accept and tolerate this, and accept and tolerate homosexuality, and accept and tolerate that. So they're going to label you as someone who excludes people and as a hate group. They're going to use it. So what can we do? We can be ready and we can get out of here. Amen. How are we going to be ready? We're going to be out there doing what God commanded us to do instead of waiting around for looking for something to happen. He's already given so many signs to tell us He's coming. You got to be blind not to be able to hear the trumpet. So let's wake up and get out there. Let's be about our Father's business. If the prayer is at 6:30, let's try to get here on time and pray. That's your main ministry. You saw it right there. Prayer and ministry of the Word. He wants you to be here for prayer, praying the plan of God, so that when you go out the doors of the church, you can walk out that plan. You see? I walk out the doors of my house, and it just seems like God's up to like some kind of orchestrator going like this. Everything just seems to fall into place. Why? Because I spend all day praying out the plan and then I go walk it out. Amen. It seems like my life now, since Bible college, almost seems as if even if I'm not trying, things just keep falling into place for me. Why is that? Because I've spent so much time praying the plan. It was not always that way. It used to be a whole lot more struggle trying to figure out what God wanted me to do. Now I just walk out the doors of my house and all of a sudden there that person is standing and they go, oh, you got a nice dog there. I said, do you know Jesus? He brings those people, you see. He brings you opportunity. And He's going to work it out. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Just lift up your hands and worship Him. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. He said, in me you have peace. He said, I've given you this time to have great peace, says the Lord. He says, but only those who are walking with me and are in me truly have the peace. For there's time that is coming, says the Lord, when I will remove my body, and those who refuse to obey, those who continue to follow the stubborn inclinations of their own hearts, those who refuse to listen to the trumpet and act, they'll be left behind, says the Lord. And they will find great confusion, and they will call upon me, and I will not answer, says the Lord. I will not look upon them with pity. I will not show them special mercies because they refuse to obey my word. My back will be turned towards them until they truly repent. So lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look. Open up your ears. Open up your ears. Cup your hands and listen to the voice of the trumpet. For I'm coming, says the Lord, and only those who are prepared will be saved.
For I've clearly described in my word
my expectations and my requirements for those who choose to call upon my name and call themselves my saints. There can be no confusion, and you must walk in the light even as I am in the light, for I've clearly revealed these things, says the Lord. And only those who want to know will seek it out. For there's many who claim to love me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain and follow their own ways. So follow my ways, for my path leads to life. My path has many obstructions that try to come up against you as the enemy attacks, but I will help you to overcome, for in me you will overcome the world, says the Lord. For I've clearly showed you in my word, All the destructions and things that have been planned as a result of the people's disobedience and sowing that field towards themselves and that end. So spend time seeking with your whole hearts and be not complacent or indifferent to your fellow man. For it is your responsibility to love your neighbor as yourself and to go forth and bring in the harvest, says the Lord. You know, you should bless the day you're born again. That there's even rain. God showed me over a year ago there's going to come a drought on right in this land. There's going to be rain on one field and not on the next. It's going to result in famine. It's going to come. And the scriptures even say so. You, every time you see rain, you should get on your knees and thank God. Because if that stuff starts to happen before the rapture happens, you're going to have to deal with it. And if you don't have faith, he says, my servants will eat, you'll go hungry. My servants will drink, you'll go thirsty. He said, my servants will sing out of the joy of their hearts. He said, you're going to groan and moan. You're going to have all sorts of problems. He describes those who serve him as those he provides for. You see, he wants to provide for everybody. But as long as we don't fully obey God's word on any level, you live under the curse of the broken law. You can call that Old Testament all you want. Galatians 6, 7 through 10 is all I need to say. It's the same principle. If we're not obey, he says, a man who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. If we're not out there sharing the gospel with people, God doesn't expect you to win every single person on the face of the earth, but he does want you to reach those around you. Amen. And if you're not willing to do that, then what's going on in the inside of you? I can tell you what it is. You know, most people, right after they get born again, they want to share it with everybody. I can tell you what happens. Their hearts get hard. Because they start to wonder, oh, well, the devil goes, oh, well, maybe that person won't listen. Oh, what if they don't? Well, you got to be led by the Spirit, he whispers in your ear. When Jesus himself, by the Holy Spirit, it says in Acts 10:38, by the Holy Spirit, commanded us to go preach to every creature. Oh, I got to be led by the Spirit. Oh, you got to wait. He said, whether by word of mouth or by letter, send out letters. So it says, share it whether by word of mouth or by letter. Send out letters. You don't want to send out letters? Bring me your addresses. Bring me your whole family tree. We'll pay for the stamps. We'll pay for the envelopes. We'll write the. We'll pay for the ink. We'll pay for the paper. We'll put it all together. We'll do. We'll put all the whole thing together. We'll send it out to your family. I don't mind. And I gave the example, and I think I made somebody mad at me, but I'm going to give it again. If you had a pastor, and you claim to be born again, if you had a pastor who begged you every week, bring me your family tree, you listen very carefully, begged you, please, I want to save your families, bring me your family tree, bring me addresses, write them down legibly, I'll send them to your family so they can be saved. And you hear that, and you keep hearing that, and keep hearing that, and keep hearing that, and you say, I'm not going to do it, I'm too busy, it's too much, and you won't make that a priority. It's equivalent to you walking down the street and see your neighbor pounding on the window with their house burning on fire, saying, help me, help me. You say, let them burn. Let them burn. Those are strong words. And you better recognize it as a fact, because those people aren't going to just burn in a fire. They're going to burn in hell if nobody even attempts to reach them. They may choose to go there after we send the letter. But we pray long and hard for these people to be saved before we send them out. And we send out letters that are effective and work. We've had good results with the letters we send. I go about them very prayerfully. Take the time to get addresses. Well, I'm too scared to witness to people. Go get some gospel tracts. You can get them for 10 cents a piece. Just start walking down the street and say, hey, just hand them to people and walk away. It's a good way to get the... If you start obeying God that way, I'm telling you, that's how I started out. I used to give out gospel tracts, and before you know it, you're getting bolder and bolder. And before you know it, you're opening up your mouth. And then before you know it, you're getting all sorts of people born again. Start handing out gospel tracts. Hand them a piece of paper that says something about Jesus on it. Do something. Not trying to condemn you. These are the facts. And the church is going to be judged. We're going to be accountable. Even though you may squeak into heaven, when you realize what you wasted away to serve yourself, and you're going to miss out on that eternal reward. He says, Paul said this, he said, I consider that the present sufferings we go through are not worth comparing to the glory, that not worth comparing to the moment the glory of God shall be revealed in us. Not even worth comparing. So if we'll just obey God fully, I'm telling you, all the sufferings that you can go through the gospel, it's not even worth comparing to what He's going to do the moment you enter in. The entrance is going to, you're going to instantly say, man, all that misery, it was all worth it. I'm glad I obeyed God. And then you're going to have that reward for all eternity. And all these other believers who maybe just got born again or refused to fully obey, they just barely squeaked into heaven. They're going to have all these, he says, going to have to wipe their tears from their eyes. He said they'll be saved just as one escaping through the flames. Could you imagine? He's going to shake them and say, "You're good. I let you in by my grace. This is the plan I had for you, and you refuse to obey me. That voice that was in your head telling you to talk to this and talk to that one, that was me," he's going to say. "Why didn't you listen to me?" And you're going to have to give an account. It says we're going to have to give an account for it. We're going to have to give an account for every careless word we've spoken. We're going to have to explain to him, and your lies will not hold water in front of the holy God. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before him to whom we must give an account, it says in Hebrews 4:12-14. He says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who's gone to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the hope we profess. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. For we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." What is he saying? He's saying, look, get on your knees and jump right before the throne and ask God for the strength you need to obey him so that we can get everything out of our life that would make us have to give an accounting for disobeying God. And what is the standard? He says it's a word that's sharper than any double-edged sword. Live according to the word. Take that word and recognize it. And when you see I'm not doing this, get on your knees and go boldly to your high priest through his name. Go boldly to Father God through the high priest's name and say, "God, help me. Help me to obey you. I know I should be doing this. I'm not doing it, God." And cry out to him day and night until you start acting upon that thing. Why? Because we don't want to face that kind of judgment. We want to have the well done, good and faithful servant. I know most people aren't preaching that way. Most people don't know the word anymore. They're more, I get the Twitter. For some reason, I still get it, but I get multiple preachers and I read what they're doing. Some of them literally write whole 3-4 page long exposés about what they did that day, and there's not one scripture. That's the kind of stuff that's going around. He says they tell fables and stories. That's what they do. They're out there telling stories, and we're supposed to be preaching the Word of God. Why? Because there's too much at stake. These people, we need to reach these people so they don't go to hell. Somebody's got to get out there and do something. And that's why God brought you here, because that's you. You say, "Me? I can't do that." That's what Gideon said. God said, "Stand up on your feet, mighty man of valor." God didn't see Gideon as some weak, feeble man. He saw him as a mighty warrior, and he went forth by the anointing of God and did what God called him to do. It's the same with you. You may see yourself as nothing, but God sees you as more than a conqueror. God sees you as one who can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God sees you as a little child, as one of greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, 1 John 4:3-4. God sees you as one who's in Christ Jesus, a good soldier of Christ Jesus. That's how God sees you. And you need to see yourself that way and start speaking that that's what you are so that your life can line up with your confession. Everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, I just pray you'd work in the hearts of the people today. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, they would begin to act. And I pray this would put a boldness and a fire in them to get out there and bring in the harvest. And Father, we want to follow the New Testament program. We recognize it's not just for the apostles. You know, some people will say, "Well, that was just for them. I can prove it." No, Jesus, they say, some people even say Mark 16:15-19 or whatever, that was added to your Bible. It says right here. Yeah, some Bibles say that, but it's in every Bible on your shelf, though. That scripture's in every Bible on your shelf, though. God put it in there. He didn't put the Apocrypha in there. That's not in every Bible on your shelf. And the same people say, "Well, that's not inspired. That's why that's not in there." Well, this must be inspired because they put that in every Bible. But it doesn't even matter if that wasn't in there. Because Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. What did he command him to do? Heal the people. He told him to raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils. He said, teach your disciples. Go make, not believers, not converts, make disciplined followers, teaching them to obey everything, not some things, everything I commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Has the age ended? No. Is Jesus still with us doing the signs and wonders? According to Matthew 28:18-2, the answer is yes. And anybody who's honest and ready to recognize the fact the reason they can't get miracles and signs and wonders to work is because they're failing, not God. Not because the gifts passed away, because we're failing. If they're honest, then we can make the necessary adjustments and do the praying and the fasting and the meditation of God's Word and seeking God wholeheartedly until we can get it off the pages of the paper into practical application. Amen. It just passed away because you didn't seek God of your whole heart to get the power. Now you're going to change God's Word? God will deal with you. Forget about it. We need to stick with the Word. We're believers. We're not questioners or reasoners or wanderers or emotional type, failure type of people. We're believers. Amen. He commanded us in Ephesians chapter 4:17. He told us not to walk as the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. How to reason everything. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. God, we should do this. God says it. I know, but that I know. And he comes up with all these reasons. He says, walk not as the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God due to the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of the hearts, lost, having lost all sensitivity. That's the spiritual things. They've given themselves over to sensuality. That's emotions. They're more led by their emotions. So as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. He said, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him with accordance to the truth that is in Jesus. He said, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. He said, therefore, put off all lying and speak truthfully to your neighbor. He said, we're all members of one body. He said, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. Doing something useful with his hands so you may have something to benefit those in need. He said, and do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. That's swearing. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. How do you grieve him? By doing all those other things: lying, stealing, laziness, swearing, cussing, hating people, fighting with people, arguing with people, strifing with people. And then he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, to live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual morality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, as these are improper for God's holy people, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance of the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. What are empty words? Anything contrary to what's plainly written down, it means what it says. Don't let anybody deceive you with words that are contrary to the Bible. Because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disciplined. Because of what things? Coarse joking. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. God says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Most of your television programs are full of it. He says, not only do they know that those who do such things deserve that, they not only continue to do these very things, they approve of those who practice them. Oh, I just watch it for entertainment. No, you approve of those who practice them. Fear the Lord. Let's be holy. Amen. I'm not telling you this to be hard on you. I'm telling you this because I love you and I want you to actually make the rapture. We're getting out of here. Because I'm telling you, God has shown me there's stuff that's going to happen down here you would never want to see. They're going to follow that pattern. Women, it says the most delicate women who would not venture to touch the sole of the ground with her foot is going to cook her own children for food because the famine is going to be so severe. That's what happened in the Old Testament, and it's going to be much worse than that. People start eating their own arms and stuff because they're not going to know. They're going to be insane. It says total darkness is going to come upon them. They're going to gnash their teeth and gnaw their tongues in agony. It's going to be terrible down here. Plague, pestilence, wild beasts. A fourth of the earth is going to be killed by sword, famine, plague, and wild beasts of the earth. A fourth of the earth. Billions of people are going to get destroyed. Wild animals are going to be attacking people. We already seen there's some roaming around Milwaukee. They're getting ready. They're just prowling around looking for their turf. Why are they getting loose? Because the people sin. The curse, they open up the doors to curses to happen. So we won't keep you till next Sunday. But let's be here for... Let's fear God, amen? Amen. If we just fear God and obey Him, we can just walk around in joy. You're going to feel so good. You want an adrenaline rush? Go witness to someone. Amen. I mean, that's the best adrenaline. You go get somebody born again. That's the best feeling. I mean, no wonder He says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. I don't feel good all the time. I'm so miserable. Go out there and just say, I'm just fed up with you, devil. I'm going to go get somebody born again. Go out there and get three people born again and go, ah! Glory to God. You're going to feel real good. That'll get all the depression off you. Instantly you go get three people born again. I guarantee it. I can't think of, no matter how many times the devil tried to beat me, every time I get people born again, it's all worth it. It's all worth it. The feeling that God blesses you with as His child. Amen? Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Well, then let's obey Him. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen? Do you love God?
Yeah.
He said, this is the love of God to keep His commandments. 1 John 5:3, John 14:15. Amen? Do we want to walk with Jesus?
Yes.
He said, for this is love to walk in obedience to His commands. He says, have you heard from the beginning His commandments that you walk in love? So let's walk in love.
Amen.
Amen. But you can see the pattern. He wants us to obey Him.
Yes.
And if you love Him, you'll obey a father. If you love your father, you're not going to work against Him all the time. So what should I do now, Pastor Dan? Pray, and everybody that comes in your path that you have a chance, just go out of your way and say, hey, do you know Jesus? Act like you know. No, don't be witnessing to each other. You go find people you don't know. I heard one person that calls that lifestyle witnessing. As soon as someone brings up Jesus, I witness to them. If they brought up Jesus, you don't need to witness to them. You bring up Jesus. Amen? There's all sorts of crazy things the devil convinces us to do. So let's just ignore him and resist the devil, submit to God by obeying His word, and He'll flee from us. Amen? Hallelujah! Glory to God forevermore. Everybody say, praise God!
Praise God!
Jesus is Lord!
Jesus is Lord!
I'm too blessed to be stressed!
I'm too blessed to be stressed!
I'm too anointed to be disappointed!
I'm too anointed to be disappointed!
God lives in me!
God lives in me!
God lives in me!
I've got the Holy Ghost in power!
Living in me!
Devils!
Flee from me!
God is with me!
Amen!
Amen!
Now believe it! Hallelujah!